Amen. It is good to be saved. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn them over to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 2. And we're going to be looking at the Christmas story this morning, and primarily looking at the wise men's perspective. Matthew chapter number 2. And over the next several services, we'll be talking about what was presented to Jesus on that very first birthday. This morning we're going to look at the wise men presented unto him some gifts.
Amen.
And by the way, for those that do not know, Matthew and Vanessa had their baby, Genevieve Isabel, born on the 10th. Genevieve?
Genevieve,
amen. Genevieve Isabel was born 10th December, and 10 pounds, 6 ounces, 22 inches, amen. So if you do have Facebook, I hear that they're actually on Facebook. But she is absolutely thankful that that has happened, amen. Matthew actually is away. Did he get a chance to come back for the birth? Anybody know? I know he was TDY for 6 months, so do continue to pray for her. Her brother, I believe, is there with her, but continue to pray for them, especially as he is TDY for 6 months away, you know, for the firstborn child. Amen. That's not a good thing, but amen. Matthew chapter number 2 is where we're going to be at. Matthew chapter 2. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? All right. We're going to read responsively. That means I read the odd verses, you read the even verses with me from 1 down to number 11. Amen. Here we go. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now, Father, thank you for the word of God that we have today, detailing the account of the wise men and their approach to Herod in search of this young baby king. I pray today that our hearts would be arrested, and the Holy Spirit would have our full attention this morning as we ponder the gifts that were given to Jesus at his birth. And I pray, looking at these gifts, Lord, we might ask the question, what can we give as well? Lord, we're so thankful for this time of the year. Thank you to Jesus. You're still the reason for the season, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, what goes. Lord Jesus, you're still the reason that we celebrate this time of the year. And Lord, make much of the time that we have. May our hearts be faced with a decision that we, too, like the wise men, if we're wise, can still seek Jesus and still seek to give him a gift. And Lord, I pray that we'd all ask in our own hearts, what is it that we can give that's fit for a king? Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless the time here. If there's a man, woman, boy, or girl without Jesus Christ, if they've never been born again, never repented of their sins, turn to Jesus to be saved. I pray that today, this Christmas season, this Christmas day that we have approaching, would be the time they make a conscious decision to flee from sin, flee from hell, and embrace the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for meeting with us, Lord. Teach us much today from your word. Instruct us, Holy Spirit. May we leave here differently than when we came in. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Ms. Dawson's got a special for us today.
I felt the wings of Kings. Now when I'm still, I still hear God speaking. My heart is filled with His grace. His love is near as I feel His leading, and my prayers are filled with praise. Some saw starlight, but I saw the light of this world. Some felt the wind sigh, for I held the King of Kings.
That song is actually written from the perspective of Mary and what she felt when she looked in the face of the Son of God and, in essence, looked in the face of God. Can you imagine what thoughts go through her mind as she's holding the very Son of God, God in the flesh? Can you imagine? What will go through your mind to just to sit there and cradle the Son of God? This is God who created the world and the heavens. And you're holding God in your hand. Can you imagine what goes through a person's mind? I mean, I can't even fathom that. After 20 years, we had G2, and that was the greatest thing that I ever felt when it comes to holding a baby. But to hold the Son of God in your hand, this is God in the flesh. Everything that God is, Jesus was. The Bible says He's the express image of the Father. Wow, that's awesome. But that's the privilege that Mary and Joseph had. We're going to talk about them tonight. This morning, we're going to talk about the wise men. And I thank you, Mrs. Dawson, for that message and song there, what Mary may have pondered in her heart. We do have a PowerPoint that's going to go along with the message. And I don't do it often, and so when I do it, I like to use a lot of pictures. So you'll see some pictures up here and go along with the sermon here. I'm going to basically concentrate on verse number 11 down there. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. That's pretty much what we're going to be concentrating on the gifts here. Brother, let me get this on here. So everybody's saying, where is it? Let me see if I can work this. All right, now we're going to probably have to get that front set of lights turned off. And the spotlight's turned off as well. Can everybody see that okay? All right. You can't really see the color good. Let's do this, brother. Get the chandelier lights on, and let's turn those lights off. There we go. Get those down. Can everybody still see your Bibles? All right, turn the chandelier lights up. Turn the spotlights completely off up here. All right, no, get the chandelier lights on and turn the spotlights off. There we go. Get those on so folks can see at least back there. All right, I want you to be able to see your Bibles at least. So turn it up a little bit more, a little bit more. Okay. Now get these spotlights turned off. That'll work. It's three set. There we go. Now it's off. Okay. Amen. All right. Everybody see your Bibles okay?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. I do hope you can. We need to turn them up a little bit more. These front ones up here, brother, are too bright.
And that's too low. Yes. I might think y'all in the theater and go to sleep on me. Amen. Yeah. And y'all are going to sleep, and it's like, man, they got comfortable in there, man. We got to go in to sleep. Amen. Well, amen. All right. Well, I've got a clicker up here. Amen. And we're looking at over the next few services here is the subject matter they presented unto him. That's the subject matter of what we're talking about, because we're looking at what was given to Jesus on that very, very first birthday. And looking at what Jesus gave on that very first birthday, we want to try to get a feel for what you and I could possibly give to the King of Kings. And, you know, when it comes to presents, I mean, we all like presents to be given to us. Let me make sure I got this thing turned on. Okay, turn that on. All right. All right. All of us like presents for Christmas, and we enjoy being presented with gifts at any time. Matters not what it is. And birthdays are that special, extra special time of the year when we can actually, you know, say that, man, people are making a big to-do about me. Amen. Somebody's 3 years old there. And, you know, birthdays, when it comes to that day, it's all about us on that special day. If you think about it, you know, when a birthday comes around. Now, gifts can be given out at any time, but on my birthday, I expect people to make much about me. I want my cherry pie. You know, I want, you know, a card, and, you know, I don't want to have to do any chores. I want to watch Tom and Jerry all day long. You know, that's what I want. I don't want to have to do anything because it's all about me on my birthday. And, you know, especially if they give me something that I like or something that I want. Amen. I'm going to probably play with it all day. Coming up is Jesus's birthday. And the question is, you know, we make much about our birthdays, but now it's Jesus's birthday. And what are we going to get for Jesus? And we need to consider that, you know, this is his special day. And what could he possibly get from me? Now, keep in mind that he is no longer in the manger. He is no longer with Mary. He's no longer with Joseph. He's no longer preaching and teaching here on earth. There is he's no longer on the cross, as some people like to have him. Amen. He's no longer in the tomb, and he is not back yet. But I tell you, he is coming soon. And you need to be thinking about what you can get Jesus for his birthday, because it is his birthday. And so that's the concentration over the next several messages, is that they presented unto him. And we're going to look at some of the things presented to him. And most of you know what was presented to Jesus on his birthday. But you ask yourself, what's a fit for a king? What's fit for a lord? What's fit for a ruler? What's a fit for a sovereign? What's a fit for a potentate who has everything? You know, what do I give someone who has everything? Keep in mind, he's a baby as well at this time of the wise men. And I want us to notice something in verse number 11. They fell down and worshiped him. Notice that verse again. And when they were come into the house, it could have taken them up to 2 years, because now they're in a house. Mary and Joseph, they're in a house, and they saw the young child. The Bible says it's not a baby anymore, but they saw the young child with Mary and his mother. Notice what it says. The first thing they did was they fell down and worshiped him. Now, we're going to present anything onto Jesus Christ. You know, first thing we can give him is worship. That's one of the very first. They didn't even give him a gift yet. And they worshiped him before even getting to the gift part. Wow. You know, oftentimes before we ever give someone a gift, we've made much about their day just because it's a special day and we haven't even given them a gift yet. We say happy birthday. We send them a card. And so we made much about them in an area we would call worship before we even give a gift to them. Before they gave anything, they gave worship. After they worship, notice what it goes on to say. When they had opened their treasures, they worshiped him first, and then they opened up their treasures, they presented unto him. And that's our theme there. They presented unto him. By the way, the word worship comes from worth-ship, which means it's ascribing worth to someone. And after worshiping, the wise men, they presented unto him these birth presents or these birth gifts. They opened their treasures unto him. And What did they give him? Well, they presented the gift of gold first. And we don't know if there were three wise men. We just know there were three presentations of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But we don't know exactly how many wise men. There could have been several. There could have been more than three. We don't know. The Bible just says wise men. They presented unto him the gift of gold. Now, you say, but he's a baby. What is a baby going to do with gold? What would you do with gold? If you're the parent. Come on now, amen. And they presented on him the gift of gold. And, you know, the question has to be asked, why? Because it's practical for a king. Gold is practical for a king. By the way, it's practical for you as well. The gift of gold was very practical for a baby king. Gold was valuable in early times for the same reason it's valuable now. It's because it is the most one of the most beautiful and most indestructible of the elements out there. And it is scarce and it is very rare. It can be used for jewelry. It can be used for money. It can be used to decorate things. Its main purpose back in Old Testament times was in decorating palaces and temples and things inside to show off wealth and beauty. Mary and Joseph could have easily used this to pay for travel expenses and needed items that they needed to buy because they did have to travel in haste, remember, because of the taxation that was going on. And so gold in and of itself is practical for a king. By the way, 2 Chronicles 9 and verse 13 says this. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 score and 6 talents of gold. That's a lot. Verse 14 goes on to say, beside that which chapmen and merchants brought, and all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. Gold is still precious and practical today and is found way back in the book of Genesis. By the way, you find gold in Genesis, the Bible says, and Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in what? Gold. We find it in Genesis. We also find it in Revelation chapter 21. The Bible says in verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto, notice that, clear glass. The lighter the gold, the more pure it is. This gold in heaven is clear like glass. That's dynamite. Revelation 21:21 says this, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. And notice this, as it were transparent glass. In Revelation 21:21. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So just like the city's got clear glass, the street is like transparent glass, but it's still gold. Gold is in the beginning of the Bible. Gold's in the end of the Bible. I believe gold is going to be in heaven because it says it right there. Amen. So the wise men presented unto Jesus that which was practical. The question is, what do you and I have that's practical like gold and fit for a king? So, preacher, I don't have gold, but yeah, you might have something that's worth something. So, preacher, I'm not a rich person. You don't have to be a rich person. What do we have that's practical? Well, they gave something else. That's the look that we have when folks say, you got any money? You got any gold? I don't have any gold. They presented on him the fragrance of frankincense. Frankincense. Wise men presented the fragrance of frankincense. Say, preacher, why would they give him frankincense? A baby has no use for frankincense. Well, we see it's practical for a king when it comes to gold, but frankincense is a prayer and a praise in the Bible. When you read about the incense in the Bible, it is right in line with offering prayers and offering praise to God. That's normally what the incense represented in the Bible, is prayers going up to God. Now, keep in mind as well that as gold is practical for a king, the frankincense is practical for prayers and praise, and that you only pray and praise God. Amen. So what were the wise men in essence saying? That you are God. God. The gold says you are king. The incense says you are God, because we're only supposed to pray to one person, that's God Almighty. And so Jesus, although you're a baby, you're God. And we're offering you the sacrifice of praise. Frankincense means incense itself, and was a white resin burned as a fragrant incense ceremonially and personally. Incense typically represented prayers or praise to God in the Bible. And we are to pray to only the true God. So the wise men were saying, in essence, all prayers and praise go to you, God in the flesh, even at birth. So the fragrance of frankincense was the perfect gift for a God. In Psalms 141 in verse 2, it says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as what? Incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You see, the incense right in line with my prayers in the Old Testament in the Psalms. Revelations chapter 5, 8, when it comes to the saints' prayers, it says this in verse number 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, by the way, same word as incense, which are the prayers of saints. Revelations 8:3 says this, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, which was representing prayers, and there was given unto him much incense, notice this, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Revelations 8:4 says, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God of the angels' hands. So what we're saying here, the frankincense was given to Jesus at birth because it's representing prayer, and you only pray to God. Amen. And so what they were saying is, not only are you king, and so you need some gold, but you're also God, and we're giving you the sacrifice of praise and prayers. What can we give in our prayers and our praise that's precious to Almighty God? In the flesh. Say, preacher, I don't know. I don't have anything to give him. What can we give in our prayers and our praise that's precious to God? Maybe I could talk to him a little bit more often. Maybe I can praise him a little bit more. Maybe I can witness for him a little bit more. Maybe in my prayers and my praise, I can just talk to him a little bit more. Maybe I can talk about him a little bit more. Maybe I can praise him a little bit more. Because the wise men said, you know what? Not only are you God in the flesh, but you're king as well. So we're giving you gold and we're giving you frankincense. Of course, you know, the next thing was given to him was myrrh. The wise men presented unto him myrrh of mankind. Say, preacher, why myrrh of mankind? Why is myrrh of a mankind necessary? And there is myrrh. Myrrh was prophetical for a Savior. Prophetical for a Savior. Why in the world would you give a baby myrrh? When's the last time y'all gave a baby myrrh? Now, gold I can see. He can put it in his savings account. It can do something. You know, incense, I don't understand why I would give a baby incense, but it represents prayers and praise. But now myrrh, why would I give myrrh to a baby? It's prophetical for a Savior. Myrrh is an essential oil. Myrrh is the aromatic resin of a number of small thorny trees, species in the world here. When people harvest myrrh, they wound the tree repeatedly to bleed them of the gum. Myrrh is gum. Gum is waxy and coagulates quickly. Notice number one, it helps ward off wrinkles. Two, there you go. Help ward off wrinkles. I better get some. Number two, stimulates the regeneration of skin cells. Number three, helps heal blemishes, skin ulcers, and wounds. Number four, prevents premature aging of the skin. Sign me up. Number five, improves circulation and helps the skin look smoother and more youthful. I'd sign me up. Reduces inflammation, fights infection. But he's just born. He don't even have all those problems. He's the Son of God. He's perfect. He doesn't need that. Myrrh was a perfumed oil or ointment used as an antiseptic for anointing, for perfuming, and to embalm or prepare bodies for burial. By the way, it actually smells very good mixed with frankincense and myrrh. My wife had some oils yesterday, and she gave some to Faith. And I said, man, that sure smells good. I said, what in the world is that? And guess what it was? Frankincense and myrrh. And it smelled good. We were sitting in G2's recital there, and I was sitting next to Faith, and I started smelling my wife, and I thought, Faith, what you have on? She put her hands up there. I said, boy, you smell like mom. You smell good. She had on frankincense and myrrh. And then she tried to rub some on me. Didn't help, but amen. And she tried. Myrrh was to represent, as a savior, the baby Jesus would have to partake of humanity and die like mankind, only it would be to save us. John Phillips says it this way. He says, the great savior must also be a great sufferer. So myrrh is a present for one destined to die, since the spice of myrrh was used to embalm the bodies of the dead. Says myrrh has been used for thousands of years, both as an incense for religious rituals and as an aid for healing viral and bacterial infections, cancer, and other illnesses. Myrrh's oil is often used today for its anti-infectious and anti-inflammatory properties and has been studied for its ability to help reduce tumors. Myrrh's earthly balsamic aroma is said to promote awareness and to be uplifting. It was definitely uplifting to me when I smelled it yesterday. Amen. I said, man, that smells good. That smells good. So when you're looking at this idea of gold, yes, it's practical for a king. And frankincense, it's you know, prayerful and praiseful for a god. But then myrrh is prophetical for a savior. Hebrews 2:9 says it this way, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 1 Peter 3:18 says it this way, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. I find it kind of ironic here. At his birth, Jesus was presented with myrrh by the wise men. Because then they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not as he hung on the cross. So at his birth, they present him with myrrh. At his death, he's getting presented with myrrh as he's hanging on the cross. And then amazingly enough, in John 19 and verse 39, we find Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus coming to bring him a mixture of none other than myrrh and aloes. Myrrh and aloes. John chapter 19 and verse 38, it says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. 19:39 says, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, bought about 100-pound weight. Verse 40 says, then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea got together and put the myrrh there. And so myrrh was to show Jesus' identity with mankind as the prophetical savior of the world. And so in his humanity, he was going to have to die to be a savior. So the gold was practical for a king. The frankincense showed that he was God and was worthy of prayer and praise. And then the myrrh then shows him as the sacrificial and prophetical savior who was talked about in Genesis all the way down. And so myrrh was given to him. The Bible says they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What do we have to give for a Savior? What do we have? You know, last Sunday night we saw the little drummer guy and he gave him his heart. Then we talked about Joseph last Sunday night and how Joseph gave him a heart of obedience. We see the wise men present unto him gifts, gold fit for a king, a frankincense is going to show that he's a god, and then a myrrh showing that he's going to be a prophetical savior, is going to die for my sins. So what can I give to he who has everything? Well, you know, it should be something that's timeless, should be something that's universal, should be something that's priceless to me, and it should be something that's practical to me. Say, like, preacher, what in the world could be priceless? What could be practicable? Practical? What could be universal? What could be that which is very important to me? May not have any gold. But guess what? I can give them what I treasure. I may not use frankincense, but I can sure praise and pray to him. May not use myrrh, but I sure have something I can sacrifice. Say, preacher, what is it? You answer the question. What's priceless? What's practical? What's universal? And what's precious to you? You. You. You're priceless. What price would you put on your health? What price would you put on your head? You're practical. You can be used for many, many things. You can go, you can give, you can gain, you can gather, you can glorify. There's many, many different things that you can do. So you're priceless, you're practical, you're precious. And Jesus died and suffered for you. Amen. Think about that now. He who gave everything for you. They gave him gold fit for a king. They gave him frankincense representing he's a god. They gave him myrrh signifying you're the savior of the world. You're going to die of the just for the unjust. So what can I possibly give you that you don't already have? Me. 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 What do we have? That's personal. That's precious. That's practical. That we can give. You give yourself to Jesus, he'll take your sin. Amen. And he'll give you eternal life. He said, and I give unto them eternal life. Now think about this. On Jesus' birthday, he was already wanting to give to you on his birthday. He's wanting to give to you on his birthday. Now, how many times has someone given you a gift on their birthday? Now, my birthday come, I don't give anybody else a cherry pie but me. I don't do any other chores because it's my birthday. I'm not going to give anything up on my birthday. The children are lucky I share my cherry pie with them. Yeah. Why? It was bought for me. G2 said, well, what about us? Well, I share. And I give unto them eternal life and they should never perish. The Bible still says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But wait a minute, he's a God. He's a king. He's a savior. Yes. And the last one means I've got to die. Amen. To save mankind. Amen. For their sins. He saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted in the day of salvation. Succored means I've helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, let me tell you something. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, he wants you. He wants you to be saved. Amen. The best gift you can give Jesus Christ for his birthday and any day of the year is you. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Jesus is still in the giving business. You say, preacher, when is it going to be too late? There's going to come a day when it's going to be too late. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the beginning of that says, the wages of sin is death. why did this great God who came to earth as a savior, wanting to save me, why did he do it? Because he knew there was a penalty of sin. And even as a baby, the wise men recognized that he was going to have to one day die because he has to be a sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
Why would God Almighty come down to be born in a manger of all places, in a stable of all places, with animals of all places, to people like Mary and Joseph of all people, for you and I, because he loves you. He loves you. Say, preacher, I can't fathom that type of love. Neither can I. But I can sure accept it. I can sure accept it. Preacher, how do I get a hold of this love? If eternal life is through Jesus Christ, then how do I get it? It's simple. Recognize that you're a sinner and you can't get it by yourself. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, and the wages of those same sins is death. The Bible says he tastes death for every man. So that means every man, woman, boy, or girl that was born into this world, that birth of Jesus Christ was for you and for me.
Amen.
For you and me. And as a result, if I will recognize that I'm a sinner, if I'll repent of my sin, that means turn from my sin and turn to God. And recognize I can't do anything to make myself any better when it comes to eternal life. And guess what? If you'll humble yourself and pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins, and turn to Jesus Christ, guess what? You'll receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The question is, will you give you?
Wow. Good.
Will you give you? Now, Christian, let me ask you this question. You say, I'm saved already, preacher. I've given myself to Jesus Christ. You know, I'm finding more and more in my saved life that there's always something that I didn't give Jesus before. There's always parts in my life and in my heart that I have not fully given him. There's areas that I haven't fully surrendered to him. And yes, I said I surrender all, but I find more and more there's places in my heart where I go and there's a corner there that Jesus said, I don't have that part. I find over here in this corner of my heart, Jesus, I don't have that part. And I find myself like Peter saying, not so, and Lord at the same time. You know what? Christian, you might need to give that to God today. That part of your heart that you've not given to him. Brother Perkins said the word over there means to superabound, to exceed, to go above and beyond, exceedingly abundantly above everything that we ask is how he gives to us. How do we give to him? How do we give to him? I have to confess, I'm always on my knees, Lord, I didn't give you this part of my heart. I didn't give you this part. He says, go do this or go do this and go over here. And I say, well, Lord, I don't want to do that. You know what? I didn't surrender that part of my heart to God. And guess what I do? I've got to fall down and worship all over again like the wise men and present unto him gifts. He doesn't want my gold. He doesn't want my frankincense. He doesn't want my myrrh. You know what he wants? He wants me. He wants me. And Christian, let me tell you something. He wants you. This Christmas, what have you purposed in your heart to give to Jesus Christ? Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, they presented unto him. Before they presented him, they worshiped him, but then they opened up their treasures and they presented unto him. What have you presented to him? What have you got? Now I know we've got our list. We're checking it twice and we're doing all these things and we're getting all these things that we want to buy for people, but what do you have that you presented to him? What's got his name on it? Say, preacher, I'm going to give him more of my time in this new year. Christmas, I'm going to give him more time. Starting on Christmas Day, I'm going to give Jesus more of my time. Time in prayer, time in praise. I'm going to give him, I'm going to treat him like he's really God because he is God. And by the way, he is God. Whether you treat him like God or not, he's still God.
Amen.
They presented unto him gifts, gold, fit for a king. Hey, one day we're going to be in heaven with that clear gold. The street of clear gold that is so clear, it's like glass.
Wow.
You know how we got there? Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We're going to see those walls that are made of glass, and that city that's glass, and it's going to be clear like glass, and we'll see that. You know how we're going to get there? Because Jesus loves us. Now, he's giving you the gold, and he's the king, and he's giving you your prayer request by saving you, what could you possibly withhold from him? Think about it. We go to God in prayer. God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But what do we give him? Folks, once a year we celebrate Christmas. Every day of the year, God gives to you. Every day of the year. Take a deep breath. Who gave you that? Jesus did. Everybody can see what's up there. Guess what? Who gave you eyesight? Jesus. He created us. The Bible says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I know that. Then what am I going to present unto him? You know, as I began looking through this message and studying for it, God just began to press upon my heart, son, there's things that you need to give me. There's things that I want to do with you, and you've not let me do it. And I, Lord, what do you mean? He said, right over here, right over here, right over here. And I said, but Lord, I love you. He said, I know. He said, but you can love me a little bit more. Amen. By the way, God's love for you and I is infinite. Yeah. I mean, think about it. He who gave his only begotten son for you and I. And he's asking in return you. Guess what? He's not demanding it. That's why not everybody's saved. He's not forcing his love on you and saying, accept my love. I'm going to force it down your throat. No, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave. You know, many, many years ago, we had a Christmas gift under our tree for someone. And, you know, the person never stopped by to pick it up. And so the next year we brought it back out in hopes that they would get that gift. And next year we kept it wrapped up and kept it there and hoping that they'd come by and get it. And we made sure that we weren't going to go give it to them. We left it right there and said, we're going to get it. And every year it came out, that gift opened and it was there. We never gave it to them. Well, the person died and never, ever received the gift. And we had the gift ready. It was right there. Year after year, it was right there. And they never received the gift. May I submit to you that eternal life is the same way? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's already packaged himself in the manger in the flesh. He's already grown to a full adult. He's already gone to the cross and he's already been nailed to the tree. They bought him the myrrh when he was on there and they wrapped him up when they buried him with the spices. But 3 days later, hallelujah, he rose again from the grave. That, my friend, is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my friend, this Christmas, the gift is sitting there. And if you don't receive that gift, he will not force that gift upon you. You must receive it by your own free will, but you will not receive it if you do not see that you're in danger. The person knew that we had a gift waiting for them, but they never came to get it. You that are sitting here, you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you know the gift of God is eternal life. But some of you don't think you need it. And my friend, you're gravely mistaken. You do need it. If that were not true, he wouldn't have said, God so loved the world. It wouldn't have said that he tastes death for every man. It wouldn't have said he was put to death the just for the unjust. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those same sins is death. Don't let this Christmas pass you by and you not receive the gift. We lost two people this year. We lost Ava Valdez, expectedly. But then we lost Bruce Gallion, unexpectedly. And I'm so glad that when the gift came around to Bruce, Bruce readily accepted the gift and he received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he could step into the glory and see the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, this year coming up, I don't know what your life is going to entail. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. You need the gift of God. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Christian, open up your heart. What is it that he wants you to give? Maybe it's your gold, your treasure. Maybe it's your sacrifice of praise or your prayers. Maybe it's that which you treasure the most. You. You know, maybe God's calling you to preach. Maybe you need to surrender to that call. You know, I struggled with that for a long time. And I was giving to God. I was the bus captain. I was the visitation director. I was all these directors. I wore all these hats. I was the assistant pastor. I did everything for God. Everything. But God said, there's one thing that you're not giving me, son. And Christmas came and Christmas went. I said, God, what is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? He says, it's you. I said, but you have me. He said, no, I don't have all of you. The story's told about the boy. The offering plate went around. He had nothing to give. And so he put the offering plate on the floor and he stepped in it. And he said, I'll give myself.
Amen.
Maybe today you need to give you. What is it God's laid upon your heart to give to Jesus? Preacher, I didn't give it any thought. Give it some thought. Give it some prayer. Give it some contemplation. Earnestly ask God, what do you want me to present unto Jesus Christ? Joseph presented a heart of obedience. The little drummer guy gave him his heart. The wise men gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh fit for a god, showing that he was a savior and also showing that he truly was king. And if he's king, why don't you crown him in your heart?
Amen.
Crown him in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, you'll find the best gift to present unto Jesus is you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, how many, first of all, would say, you know, preacher, if the truth be known, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've got some religion. I've got some form of godliness about myself. But if the truth was known, if the evidence was revealed, I don't believe I'm saved today. I think I am. I try to live the Christian life. But if the truth be known, I'm not 100% sure that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I don't think I presented myself. I've done a lot of things. But I can't go back to a place and a time and a date, just like these wise men presented to Jesus, where I was presented with eternal life and I received it. And if that's you today, why don't you raise your hand? I want to pray for you that maybe before Christmas you'll get that thing settled. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, you'd raise that hand saying, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I've done a lot of things. But as far as going back to a place and a time like these wise men presented to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I'm not sure I presented my life to Jesus Christ. I kind of do it every night. But one particular time, I'm not sure about that. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that at all? Raise your hand. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. Next, Christian, how about you? Is there something that you know you need to give him? Maybe some bitterness you've been harboring. Maybe some unforgiveness. Maybe you need to love someone a little bit better. Maybe you present that unto Jesus Christ. Maybe you'll be a better giver. Maybe you'll start tithing. Maybe you'll give an offering. Maybe you'll start giving to missions. Maybe it's praying more. Maybe it's reading more. Maybe it's reading to your children more. Maybe it's being a better husband. Maybe it's being a better wife. But something that you know Jesus wants from you this year. And you'd raise your hand saying, preacher, there's something that I know Jesus wants me to give. Pray that I'll give it to him. Pray that I'll give it to him. You'd raise that hand. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Amen. You may put them down. Well, folks, all of us should have something that we know Jesus wants from us. And if you don't know what it is, ask him. I'm sure he'll tell you. Maybe it's something to do, or maybe it's just you yourself. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. You see the hearts. Lord, would you now work in these next several minutes? As we sing the invitation song, Lord, maybe there's someone that'll come down to an old-fashioned altar and present unto you, just like the wise men presented unto you, showing that you were God and that you were indeed the Savior. And indeed, Lord, that you truly, truly are King. God, if you're King, help us to crown you King in our hearts. When we find ourselves sitting on the throne of our own hearts, God, maybe we dethrone ourselves and enthrone you, that you can reign and you can rule. Lord, help us with our decisions today. What can we give to you for your birthday, Lord Jesus? Help us today to decide what it is and then give it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As you stand, Brother Wilbur is going to sing an invitation song. Maybe God laid something on your heart. Would you come? Would you come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I know this is what you want for Christmas. I'll give it to you. Or perhaps you don't know what it is and you've come.
Jesus,
say, I don't know what it is, Lord, but show me what you want for Christmas. May we go out of our way to tell people what we want for Christmas and to show them what we want for Christmas. Maybe Jesus is showing you what he wants you to give to him for Christmas. Would you give it? Would you give it? I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Would you get it? Would you give it? I may not have gold, but I have treasure. I may not use frankincense, but I have prayers and praise. I may not use myrrh, but what can I sacrifice that's precious to me?
Jesus, I surrender.
Gifts fit for a king, they present unto him. What can you present unto Jesus Christ? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. What is it to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better child, to be a better student, to be a better boss, to be a better worker, be a better aunt, an uncle, better grandpa, better grandmother? What is it? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh were very descriptive, speaking of the King, the God, and the Savior of the world. What about you? Christmas is only a few days away. 5 days to be exact. And the beauty about Jesus, you don't have to wait until Christmas to do it. You can do it today. You can present it to him right now. Maybe it's a willing spirit, willing heart. Maybe it's obedience. Maybe it's taking advantage of opportunities when they're presented. Maybe it's being a better worker. I surrender all. I surrender all. They gave unto him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshipped him. They fell down. Sing one more stanza. I surrender all. One more stanza.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Would you come? How about it? Are you saved today? Are you saved? Christmas time. Don't let this time pass you by when Jesus wants to give you something. Say, preacher, I thought we're supposed to be giving him something, but you can't receive from him until you give something first. That's giving yourself to want to belong to him. Repenting of sin, receiving Christ. Giving up my sin to get eternal life. Turning my back on the world and turning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving up that which is perishing to get that which is immortal. Immortality. What is it? I surrender. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here in the week that encompasses Christmas Day. Lord, as this is the last AM service before Christmas, I do pray that we are very aware of what it is that you would like us to present. I don't think there was any question in the mind of the wise men. I believe they left from their destination with in mind. We have gold, we have frankincense, we have myrrh. We're going to find our God. We're going to find our Savior. We're going to find our King. And I believe they left from their destination with those gifts already pre-planned. God, help us to come to the house of God. Lord, already planned that we'll surrender all when it's revealed to us what it all entails and what it is you want to give, want us to give to you. Thank you, Lord, so much for meeting with us today. Thank you for these wise men, the example they've laid out of some things that meant a whole lot to the baby Jesus. Lord, I'm sure caused the parent, Mary and Joseph, to reflect upon these gifts and to think about that baby that was just born. They already knew he was the Savior. They already knew he was the King. But, oh, I believe the weight of it came to fruition when the wise men came and traveled distances to get there. God, help us to examine our own lives. And, Lord, every day should be your birthday as far as we're concerned. We should be giving you something every day that belongs to you. As you reveal it to us, God, through our devotions and our hearts and our minds, may we make every day your birthday. giving you the gifts that you so rightly deserve. Thank you for giving us heaven if we're saved. Thank you for the street of gold that is there, the city that's clear as crystal like glass, and it's gold. Thank you for being our King. Thank you for being our God. Mostly, Lord, thank you for being our Savior. Help us to live today as if it were our last, giving you that praise. Help us to worship like the wise men did before presenting anything. Help us to recognize we need to reverence you this time and at all times. Dismiss us with thy blessings. Bring us back to our meetings this afternoon and our message again tonight as we look at not just the birth presents this morning, but tonight the parents. And Lord, may we glean from that to see what we can do as parents. Thank you so much, Lord. Bless now in Jesus' name. Max, Pastor White, if you'd come, dismiss us in a word of prayer. On the way out, Mrs. Dawson and I do have an ornament for you that we would like to give to you for Christmas, and I'd like you to put that on your tree if you do have a tree. Pastor White.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this morning's message, Lord. We thank you for the clarity of it, Lord, the simplicity of it. Lord, we thank you for the power of it as well. That we would not leave here today if there's one here that does not know Christ as Savior. Lord, they would present themselves, that you could take their lives and make something of it that they already have. And those that are saved, Lord, may we examine our hearts. There may be an area in our lives, Lord, that we have not truly given over to you, that you might have that as well today, that you might use it for your honor and for your glory. And God, as we pray this morning, we just can't get over how precious your gift of your Son that you gave him for our salvation, that we can claim heaven as our home because of the gift that you've already given that's priceless beyond our hope and our imagination. God, we thank you so much for him. And this morning, Lord, we thank you for our missionaries that are here this morning, Lord, Brother Lindquist and his family, Brother Scott and his family. Lord, what a joy it is that we can reach a lost and dying world through our missionaries, and they could be here this morning with us during this celebration time or worship time, that we can come to you this morning. I just pray your blessings upon them and their family, Lord, and all that you'd have for them here in the days to come, that you bless their work. Lord, again, we pray for each person that's here under the sound of my voice. Lord, as we leave here this morning, I pray you give us safety as we travel. Be with those that are still traveling, that are away from the church services and homes this week from our church. Pray you be with them as well. God, bring us back today at the appointed time that we have a productive meeting today as we discuss some matters and go things as teachers and leaders. Lord, we look forward to a great time this afternoon, relaxation, but we want you, Terry, you're coming. We look forward to being in your house again tonight. And God, I pray this morning again that no one would leave here that does not know Christ as Savior, that they would give themselves to you first and foremost. Again, we love you. We praise you and thank you for all that you've done, for what you're going to do in our hearts and in our lives. We ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.